It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Evan and Tiki on the Fan. Tiki will actually join us in a few minutes, get his opinion on the Giants' first victory of the season, but it is 5:03.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on the Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. Very simple title, the five best dogs in the dog pound Sunday. Because, boy, after that early 7-0 start, all I heard was, Giants brought dogs of their own. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Devin Singletary. Got to clean up the fumbles.
I mean, that was a big fumble, too.
But what a heads-up play slotting at the one, and he just brings it down in and down out. No pitter-pattering, not really a lot of drop passes. I love his game.
That fumble could have turned the game. Give Jason Pinnock credit. He's the one that got the sack, that got them off the field. And then Dustin Hopkins missed a long field goal. Uh-huh. But that could have been freaking disaster.
It could have been. And he's got to clean that up.
Can't put the ball on the ground.
But Singletary was a dog. Here we go.
Number four.
Dexter Lawrence.
Only number four to Sexty Dexy?
That's how good some of the dogs were yesterday.
Well, I think you're also not giving him enough credit.
I'm not giving him enough credit,
I don't think you are, no.
Can I finish reading the tagline of what I put for Dexter Lawrence?
Go ahead.
We may get to a point in time down the road where we have to legitimately ask, is he the second best Giants defensive player of all time?
Wow.
We may get there.
I mean, they've had some pretty good defensive players.
I know, but that's how special and
Carl Banks says hi. Harry Carson says hi.
I mean, you want to go through the freaking list?
Michael Strahan says hi. I mean, geez.
He might be the best defensive player in football right now.
What's up with you guys? You and Loogie do this all the time. Like, you have something very good, and then you got to, like, elevate it to levels that are, like, almost...
Hold
come on,
dude. Again, hear the way I said, we may get to that point.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You don't listen.
I'm listening. It's just, you guys go, you're hyperbolic, man.
Yeah. Okay, yes. It says the guy who spent 6 months in Alicia telling us that Aaron Rodgers is taking the Jets.
Number three.
I never said they were going to the Super Bowl.
We live in the extreme, Sean and I.
The number three dog in the dog pound Sunday was Daniel Jones. Didn't love everything in the second half, but Danny dimed out in that first half, baby.
See, I didn't love Daniel Jones' performance, and we'll get into that in a few minutes. I think his numbers were great, obviously. I don't think he was terrible, but... Again, I think his numbers tell a different story than the actual tape. Because I'm going to watch the tape tonight.
You better watch the tape.
I'll break it down.
And watch that St. Eagle tape, too. Here we go.
Number two.
Number two was Malik Nabers. There are already some asking, is he going to be better than Jerry Rice?
See, this is what I'm talking about. In the same cinco, the guy's played three games in the NFL.
Rice had Montana and Young. Nabers has already done something for three games Rice never did.
Oh, so here we go. Yes.
Number one.
And the number one dog in the dog pound.
Micah McFadden.
Brian Daboll.
Oh.
Asked about job security after just 2 weeks. Pat Leonard, I hope you're listening. Dave's got his day balls back. And the Giants are on the board. And they've circled that week one loss to the Cowboys. Oh, we're licking our chops. So maybe we'll get five more dogs on Friday, Cinco. That's Cinco Day Five.
All right. Go out there and rip that son of a bitch.
What about Micah McFadden? You don't want to give him any love? He played well.
McFadden played well.
How about Azeez Ojulari? Guy was all over the place.
Ojulari should have been there.
How about Brian Burns making some plays?
Look, it's not Cinco de Teno. Cinco de Fivo. That's how many dogs they had yesterday.
I admire, Sean, that you went from days ago, thinking that this team should tank. They're better off losing.
Yep.
You wore a paper bag on your head.
Damn right.
And here you are talking as if this team's going to the Super Bowl.
Some are saying...
That's the beauty of football, ladies and gentlemen.
It is. And some are saying me putting the bag on my head might have changed the Giants season. Giants players saw that. Giants coaches saw that. Saw fans. I was starting to trim a bags on the head, and they woke up yesterday.
If they lose to Dallas on Thursday in some kind of, you know, typical way, are you wearing the bag on Friday?
Ask me on Friday.
I got to ask on Friday?
I don't know how I'll feel.
You don't know if it's going to come to you?
I don't know how I'll feel. I feel confident they're beating Seattle in a couple weeks.
I just want to know if this is going to become a weekly occurrence. Like, Giants suck. Here comes the bag. Well, we stink. Let's tank into bag is gone. We're going to the playoffs. Some people say we're the best defense since the 85 Bears.
What do you take me for? Do you think I'm a pony ride outside a Piggly Wiggly that you could just drop a quarter in and I go for the ride?
Sometimes.
I'm a little... that was quick. I'm a legitimate professional broadcaster. I'm not here for the gimmicks and the shtick.
Really? What is the t-shirt you're wearing? It looks like it says Grocery Stars.
Yeah.
Dexter Lawrence.
Ooh. Dexter Lawrence.
What the hell is that about?
I saw this at FanFest and I loved it.
It's Dexter Lawrence with an orange as his head. I don't even understand it. Like, am I missing something?
It's somebody makes shirts that have grocery names tied to players. In fact, Jet fans, there's a beautiful Carrot Wilson shirt, too.
Carrot Wilson?
There is.
Jesus.
Evans broke his microphone.
I broke my microphone.
But Dexter Lawrence.
Sorry about that.
You know what he'll do, too, to opposing teams?
Go ahead.
Beat you to a pulp.
Jeez. Let's go to Dennis and Yonkers. How you doing, Dennis?
Evan, John, how are you?
Excellent, sir. How you feeling?
Good. Tommy barely didn't listen to my, but I was screen my call. I mean, I asked him if he retracted the Tommy DeVito should be the starter comment, and I didn't get a yes or a no out of him.
So let's ask him. Tommy, have you retracted the Tommy DeVito should be the starter stuff?
Absolutely not. What I saw in the second half yesterday from Daniel Jones only strengthened my argument. That Tommy DeVito should be the starting quarterback for the New York Giants.
By the way, Evan and Sean, your analysis of that second half was lazy also.
How's that?
28 plays, 13 runs, 15 passes. So the play calling was balanced. He was functional. You know what a big Jones fan I am. But,
no, we don't.
Evan, you do.
Well, but wait a second. What I pointed out with the play calling was I was excluding the last five plays they ran in which they ran the ball three times before the Joseph
field
goal.
But you can't do that.
Well, I can because I think the strategy started to change because it became more about the clock with 3.5 minutes to go and getting Cleveland to use their timeouts. I thought before that they were very aggressive in throwing the football.
Well, let's reset. The Giants were plus 12, and Sean, I know you and Evan know this. Yep. The Giants were plus 12 in TO last year. TO ratio, that's the biggest, to me, the biggest impact of a stat on a game.
Yeah.
31 takes, first person in takeaways, 31, tied with the Ravens. That, they were 6-11. That portended bad stuff for this year. You should be 11-6 with those numbers.
Yeah.
So the first game happens, and Daniel played, I think, arguably the worst game of his career. In that first game, from indecisiveness, inaccuracy, the whole thing, but that obscured the fact that they got raked for 111 on the ground. Darnold went wherever he went with the ball, so there were a myriad of problems. Fast forward to Washington, and the kicker thing became the narrative. No team carries two kickers. There were guys suggesting they should have carried two. If you didn't ask on Friday or Saturday, hey, are you going to carry another kicker, coach? Then you don't have the right to ask it afterwards. I'm not a Dable apologist. But that was ridiculous, and it was a tough loss.
Why is that silly?
Fast forward. Sorry?
No, Sean said that was silly, because and you mumbled it. If you didn't just say it, then why was that silly?
Because by the time we found out Ganoa got hurt, it was post-practice Friday when the media had already met with Dable. They were done meeting with him until post the Sunday game. There was no chance to ask him about it because it popped after his media availability was done.
I thought the other thing, Dennis, was that if you know he's dealing with some kind of injury, why have him do kickoffs when you know that he may have to make a football play, which is what caused the injury?
So you just make him inactive and bring up another kicker. If you want to criticize him for that, my biggest problem is he didn't give Gillen another shot when he was up three to make it four.
In the end, though, this seems to keep being a narrative here. And maybe we have to keep reminding everybody, the Giants likely still lose the game if Graham Gano or another kicker's on the roster. Why are we forgetting that?
Because I don't think that's fair either. It's not that they likely lose the game. It's that the game is played completely differently.
Well, didn't we just learn yesterday with the 48-yard attempt by Greg Joseph that's exactly what Dable would have done the week before?
No, I don't think it would have been exactly what they did.
Guys.
Dude, they went for two-point conversions multiple times. The entire game against Washington.
God.
See, you don't get it. You're the exact opposite but also wrong as those who lazily say they win the game with a kicker. The entire game is coached differently.
Not really.
Yes, it is. They're not going for two in situations that don't call for it.
Evan.
Yeah, thank you.
Evan, this is where you're right, but also leads to me being right. You're right. The entire game is called differently. The Giants don't score a third touchdown versus Washington because the game would have been called differently with a kicker and they would have kicked the field
goal. Maybe not. You're right.
They likely got a net of one extra point by not having a kicker in that game.
You don't know that because I think you're playing. No, you don't, because everything about that game is coached differently when you don't have a kicker. Like, think about the possession late in the fourth quarter that we argued about earlier. You could rewind on the Odyssey app if you missed it. And that was right after the turnover on downs when Deshaun Watson got stuffed. The Giants had a first down from the Cleveland 29-yard line with 3:56 to go, and Cleveland had two timeouts. And Brian Daboll got very conservative with his play calling. They ran with Devin Singletary for 0 yards timeout. They ran with Devin Singletary minus 3 yards timeout. And then on third and very long, they ran again with Devin Singletary and settled for a 48-yard field goal with Greg Joseph. That clearly does not happen if you have Graham Gano or if you don't have a kicker. It's coached differently. Last week against Washington is a completely different game if they have a healthy kicker. You can't just definitively say, they lose anyway. It's negative 2 points. Like, what the hell is that based on?
Evan, we just talked about Daboll getting his balls back on from fourth down. Yeah. It's coached differently because what did the Giants do versus Washington? They coached more aggressively by not having a kicker, and it ended up benefiting them in a third touchdown. So why would we assume... What, they're going to coach even more aggressive without a kicker?
No. I'm not saying they're going to coach more aggressively. I'm saying they're going to coach differently.
All right.
That doesn't always line to one way.
I'm just here to tell you, as the Giants won this game, we should all be happy. Stop saying if they had a kicker in week two, they would have won. That's not true.
I agree, but you can't say they would have lost. You're wrong, too. You're both wrong.
You're wrong.
No.
You're wrong.
Right. You know what? I'm going to give you the final word.
Thank you.
I'm wrong.
I'll take that word. Next one, I'll give you the final word.
Will you, though?
Yeah, I will.
I don't know if that's happening. Albert in Greenwich, Connecticut. How are you, Albert?
Hey, guys. Evan, I have to say, I'm really disappointed in you.
What did I do?
What did you do? I've been a Mets fan since the late 60s. Listening to the 69 World Series on a transistor radio in grade school.
Okay.
Watching on a black and white TV during lunch. And since then, we've been basically the second fiddle in town to the Yankees.
Okay.
And you're saying that you're saying that if given the opportunity,
yes,
you wouldn't want to play the Yankees in the World Series.
That is correct.
This is a new generation of kids. We will own this town.
Okay, listen, Albert, I appreciate your time as a fan, okay? I appreciate the resume, and I appreciate how long you've watched the Mets, and I appreciate that you disagree, and you want to play the New York Yankees. I don't. I don't know why that disappoints you. I want to, own the town by myself. I want the World Series to be about the Mets, and I don't want to risk losing to the Yankees because there's a good chance they will. And I don't want to live in that world. I lived in that world once before. I experienced it. It was really, really painful. And by the way, just so you understand my consistency, if the New York Jets win the AFC Championship, and I'm not sure of the schedule this year on which title game comes first. I'm not sure.
I got to remember.
But let's just say, for the sake of what I'm saying, the Jets have won the AFC Championship.
The NFC is first this year.
Okay, so it doesn't really apply, but let's just magically believe it did. And the Jets are in the Super Bowl. That's my first time in my lifetime I'm going to see the Jets in the Super Bowl. And the Giants are playing. It doesn't even matter who they're playing. The Cowboys, the Eagles,
won't be the 49ers.
Vikings, the 49ers, the Seahawks, the Lions. You can name the team. I'm going to say the exact same thing. I don't want to play the Giants in the Super Bowl.
Oh, come on.
I don't want to share the town, and I don't want to risk the indignity of losing to them. And I understand you in the audience may say, I'm disappointed. We'll win. Boo, boo, boo. I'm just telling you honestly how I feel. And by the way, Loogie will tell you this because he experienced this with me and Craig years ago. The Knicks weren't even good. Did I want to play the Knicks in the first round of the playoffs?
He did not.
I don't want that.
You have nothing to lose as a Met fan playing the Yankees in the World Series this year. Nothing. I have everything to lose, right? As a Yankee fan, you Met fans, oh, yeah, we got you, ba, ba, ba. If you lose, as you said, you're a loser. Met fans will expect to lose.
I know, but it's a
get. We have it forever on you, the 2000 World Series. You get one back.
Sean, I understand your perspective.
And you swept the Yankees.
That doesn't mean anything, and you know that.
Sure it does.
No, it does. Did it mean something for the 88 Mets against the Dodgers?
Did it mean something for
the 2015 Cubs against the Mets? The Cubs owned the Mets in the regular season.
I will tell you right
now. Does that matter?
I would fully walk into that World Series going, I expect the Mets to win. The Mets will probably win.
I don't care what you're walking in thinking or saying. It doesn't mean I want it.
You got to man up a little bit. You invest all this money in tickets, everything. You got a chance to go play in the World Series versus the New York Yankees and steal their soul. You want that.
If you tell me the result, I'll take it.
You know what, Evan? If you were around in the 1960s, the NFL wouldn't exist. Because you would have went into Super Bowl III.
Yeah.
We're never going to win. We're these huge underdogs. Don't even want to get there. We would have no NFL right now if Evan Roberts was born in the 50s, basically. Come on, bro. Think about it. If you're an 18-year-old kid right now and the Mets win that World Series, we now can become Big Brother. I already anointed us Big Brother a couple months ago, but we would officially be Big Brother.
Loogie.
I mean, how about that?
If we beat you, we would be. Forget that for a second. You have said in the past that you don't even want to go to Met Yankee games because of the indignity of leaving Yankee Stadium a loser.
Yes, negative okay? Tommy said that often.
All right. So you've said that a million times. Yes. You almost thought I was an idiot for going to Mets Yankees games.
I would yell at you a lot on the air about it. Yes.
Okay. Like, why are you going? You know the way it's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
Are you now telling me that if we are fortunate enough, okay, and I want to make that very clear, we have a long way to go. There's a week left in this regular season. We know the Yankees are winning the AL East. We don't know about the Mets yet.
Mm-hmm.
If you're telling me, you know the Mets are sitting in the World Series. They just smoked the L.A. Dodgers and the Philadelphia Phillies. We got our feet up. And the Yankees are playing the Astros. You're going to sit there saying, you know what, screw it, let's go Yankees. I want a piece of this.
Absolutely. And you said something 4 minutes ago. Oh, if the Mets play the Yankees, the Mets are losing. Based on what? Based on what? Baseball-wise. Don't give me boogeyman and whatever the Yankees.
I said they probably lose.
No. We could go back and play this tape. Because I got order,
I said they definitely
lose? No, you said they are definitely lose. Then you walked it back a little
bit. Well, I'm very scared of Four Fingers. Four Fingers Cole is definitely
He's not Four Fingers anymore. He mowed down the A's for 9 innings Friday night, and you very much hid that. 5:19 p.m. on a Monday. You peacocked around Friday. I don't know about Four Fingers. How's he going to rebound after that Red Sox game? Shut him down.
Okay. You want me to get my comeuppance?
Yeah, I want you to apologize.
All right. Four Fingers Cole pitched incredible over the weekend. Was that Friday night or Saturday? It was Friday right? night. He pitched incredible on Friday night. It was an unbelievable performance. Great bounce back outing by Four Fingers. What more do you want from me?
And I want to say the same about Sticky Fingers. It's a great 6-out save he had last night. Great job over the weekend.
You're going to call him
Good
Sticky.
Job by Sticky Fingers.
You know what? I agree to it. If you want to call him Sticky, I call him Four Fingers.
Now, look at Mike's career track record and look at my numbers.
Just one
Thank
more.
You.
Other, one more. The piggish thing here. The idea that you don't want to share the town. Be more selfish.
Yeah,
I mentioned it was talking about the Yankee.
No, I am selfish. Yeah, I think when you're in a championship, competing for a championship, absolutely.
Stop being picky.
Like, I think the Jet one is probably a better example. Believe it or not, if you're a Jet fan, unless you're Beningo's age, you've never seen them in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Super Bowl week is like. You've described it. Tiki's described it. I have no idea. It's foreign to me. Right.
Yeah.
So do I want to experience that week sharing it with you? No, I don't.
It'd be awesome. And you as Afternoon Evan should love that.
I got to hear this. It's good for the station. It's good for business
good
stuff.
For the show.
Right. Coming up to 5:30 here on The Fan, Evan and Tiki on this Monday. And joining us right now, a guest on his own show, Tiki Barber.
What's happening, boys?
How are you, sir?
Fun day today, huh?
Yeah. No, I'm sitting next to him. I'd rather be sitting next to you. So.
Well, you'll be sitting next to me tomorrow. It'll be all good.
Oh, Tiki,
Sean couldn't
welcome.
Have been that bad, even though I'm sure he was insufferable as a Giant fan today.
No, not so. I welcomed everybody. I want to welcome you to football season. We're here. Giants got a big win. We're happy to be here.
You know we're 3 weeks in, right?
Well, the first two were preseason.
Oh,
you know how
No, you're right.
You're
kind of right.
What was your impression on that victory yesterday?
It wasn't pretty, but it was effective. That's really what matters most. And I think the thought process on Malik Nabers' selection back in April was is playing out exactly as you wanted it to. That is, target him often and let him go be him. And it's exactly what we're seeing, especially these last couple of weeks. 18 targets last week, and obviously the big game he had yesterday with 2 touchdowns. I think that the other not so paid attention to player who is really living up to his draft status is Wandell Robinson, because that kid is as effective a slot third down guaranteed catch that there is in the league right now. And nobody's going to pay attention to him because everybody's paying attention to Malik Nabers and how amazing he is. The records I heard Sean talking about in his little whatever thing he was doing in that last break. But Wandell Robinson had a really good game as well. And I think it creates a dynamic that can be really effective for this Giants offense going forward. Again, they made a lot of bad mistakes. They were sloppy at times, way too many penalties, stagnated in the second half, couldn't convert third downs, and were punting back and giving opportunities to a Browns team that's just lost. But you got a victory. Really, that's all that matters.
Amen. That's it, baby. And
I really, though, when you go back to the beginning of this game, when Eric Gray fumbles and one play later, Amari Cooper's in the end zone and it's 7-0 and Giant fans are panicking, I thought a little bit later on, Brian Daboll going for it on 4th and 1 from his own 43-yard line. And then drawing up, I thought, a brilliant play call. Get the ball in Malik Nabers' hands, call a sweep. Like, that changed everything. And that was the old Brian Daboll. You know, yes. I've criticized him for not being aggressive. That's the aggressiveness I think we all miss.
Well, you're right, because he's aggressive. And he's it's throw caution to the wind type of play calling. And I think you have to do that. And you do it by... Malik Nabers, you are our best athlete right now, our most dynamic option. We're giving you the ball, period. And I dare you to figure out a way to stop him type of thing. And we saw that over and over. The catch, the contested catch down the sideline, we just went over, I forget the cornerback for the Browns, but it was just... Like, when was the last time we saw somebody do that for the Giants? Yeah. It's been a long time from a wide receiver standpoint.
Yeah, Tiki, I don't know if you're aware of this, too. Another big part of this game now has creeped up 2 weeks in a row, and Giants fans are begging for your help. How can we get Devin Singletary to stop fumbling
the football?
It's
just awareness, man. It's just awareness. The first one happened because he had the ball in his right arm.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Going down the left sideline. And when I say awareness, I mean awareness of people around you. And so my rule was simple. Whenever I felt contact, whenever I felt like somebody was close to me, I was covering up. Devin was trying to swipe away the linebacker, the filling linebacker. So he's not necessarily worried about ball security going through contact. He's trying to like usher the falling linebacker away from him with his ball protection hand, and therefore he's compromised. And so when you do those things, it seems right in the moment, like, oh man, I'm creating space for myself. But what you're really doing is creating like an opportunity for a defender to get a shot on the ball. And so to me, it's awareness of defenders. And whenever there's awareness of defenders, you got to be high and tight and crossed over so that the ball can't go anywhere. Even if they hit it perfectly, the ball's not going anywhere.
Would you have slid at the one if you were Singletary?
Probably not. I didn't get touchdowns, bro. Right? I played a decade. I only got 55.
You know, so earlier on we were talking about this because...
And not I wouldn't even, have. I wouldn't. It was the right play, but I would not have done it.
So I was talking about it in terms of, well, if you're Devin Singletary, man, I mean, you're going to be a free agent again. Like, you want as many touchdowns as possible. Well, now I think of you. You have a resume that gets kind of studied.
Okay, hold on. What year of my career is it? Is it like year three? I've just rushed for 1,000 yards for the first time, and I'm trying to make a name for myself? Or is it like year nine, where it's a smart play, I'm the vet, it doesn't matter how I'm not getting a new contract, I'm just kind of doing what's right.
Yeah, but
by the way, it was the right play. No, you end the game, period. They're not getting a chance to go score real quickly and do an onside kick, even though teams don't do onside kicks when they should do onside kicks, like what happened in my game, but that's another story. I feel like he did what was right because he doesn't care about this is going to hurt me when I negotiate a new contract.
Yeah, but you know what? And I bet you didn't think this way because you just said something interesting. Well, where is it in your career? Earlier in your career, you'd probably be more likely to score the touchdown,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's say it's the second to last year of your career where you had 9 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Now your resume is being...
Oh, I want double digits.
Yes!
You no
want
doubt.
You want double digits. And, you know, I'm not saying, like, getting in the Hall of Fame is different between 55 or 56 touchdowns,
yeah,
but numbers matter.
No, they do.
So...
And when you evaluate... Because nobody looks at context.
Right.
And at the end.
Right.
Nobody cares.
Exactly.
To real, you know, to think about, oh, well, Tiki had a game against Washington in 05 where he didn't play the third quarter. He would rush for maybe 100 more yards, and that 100 more yards puts me close to 2,000 yards, and it just changes the conversation. You know what I mean? Because I had 1,800 that season.
Right.
So 1,850 or whatever it was. So it changes like the conversation about who you are based on a large number or a large statistic that people see.
Well, I read, and there's a football guy I really respect. He's actually a former teammate of yours who did not like Devin Singletary going down.
Mm.
This is what he said.
Go ahead.
I guess my football IQ is trash. The score is 21-15 with a little over 2 minutes to go. Sorry, fellas. I'm scoring to make it a two-possession game. The defense, they pay you to play just like they pay me to score.
Mm.
Devin, good bleep out there today, bro. And he went on to say... Except for the fumble, yes. Mm. He goes on to say, I get y'all possibilities in that scenario. I'm not stupid, so please don't think that. If y'all think Watson was going to drive the field to score, you're sadly mistaken.
Okay.
What do you think of Brandon Jacobs' comments?
I think Brandon is like a running back that has a running back mentality. Go score, bro. Get everyone that you can. But look, he's not wrong. The Giants were probably winning the game if they score anyways. But by Devin doing that, it ends the game. It's over, right? There's no more plays that are going to matter.
Right.
When you slide down and you're at the 2 minute and they don't have any timeout. So it ended the game. And honestly, I kind of respect and get it because in a game like that where it was ugly and unnecessarily close, because the Browns had nothing, but it was unnecessarily close, you just end it. Let's get out of here. Forget the statistical and, you know, lifting of my whatever. Let's just get out of here with a win. And he did the right thing.
So we're talking to Tiki. Tiki, there's been an argument that's occurred between really Sean and Loogie, me and Loogie, the audience with each other about the second half. Obviously, the Giants did not score in the second half.
No.
I am under the belief that when you watch it, I don't think Brian Daboll really took the foot off the gas. Like, I think that they were still aggressive. They just didn't execute. But there are some Giant fans who believe that they kind of went into a shell and tried to run the clock out and did not play aggressively in the second half of this game. What was your feeling on the way they played offensively in the second half?
I don't think it was passive, but I do think you got the fumble on the first series, right? And then mm-hmm. you have penalties in the second series. And then in the third series, I don't remember what happened.
A sack really killed them.
Yeah, it was like a big sack that kills them. So
yep.
now they're behind it, and they're third and like ridiculously long.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, first three series, that is the entirety of the third quarter. It just, you put yourself in bad spots. Giving up a sack, you fumble, you have big, you know, bad penalties. And then in the fourth quarter, you have a lead, you're comfortable with this lead, and the last thing you want to do is throw an interception. And so you go three and out, and then you get in the same situation. We're now closer to the end of the game. It's like, all right, let's just be smart, right? Keep the ball, keep short passes, try to get some first downs. You give the Browns credit. By the way, they're supposed to have one of the best defenses in football. You give them credit.
Right.
But so I'm not going to say it was conservative. I think early on, when you could have been aggressive in the second half or third quarter, they just kept shooting themselves in the foot. And by the time you get to the fourth quarter, it's like, all right, let's stop trying to be big boys here. They've been, you know, score 30 points. Let's just win the football game. And by the way, I think that was communicated to this team because most running backs aren't thinking, go down on the 1 yard line.
Right.
You know, breaking tackles.
Yeah.
By the way, it was a spectacular run.
Yeah, it was.
Right? He broke two tackles. He stepped out of something. He's just all of a sudden he's free unexpectedly. And it's like, dude, let me just go score. Hit my head on the goalpost. And he's, you know, wherewithal or thought process just slide. It
yeah.
ends the football game.
They did say in the post game that Daniel Jones was telling everybody in the huddle throughout every play, remember, don't score, don't score, don't score.
Yes.
So that was really well communicated. I'm just curious, Tiki, you know, off of all of that and off of everything, I think it's time for you to take some bows. I got to admit I was wrong.
On Sam Darnold?
No, I'm not. Forget Sam Darnold for a second.
He threw four touchdowns.
You told everybody.
I'll admit that.
You told everybody, we got to wait till the end of the month before making a decision on pulling Daniel Jones. We're ready to bench him.
Of course.
Has he extended a stay? When's the next reevaluation now, Jones?
Without a doubt. Look, if they go out and they beat the Cowboys on Thursday Night Football, a game which I'll be at and I'm looking forward to, now all of a sudden we'll say, all right, Daniel is back to where the Daniel that we've seen. Now, look, he got away with an interception because they roughed the passer.
Yeah.
And
had no bearing on the interception team.
Exactly, but it didn't matter, right? You still can't rush.
Yeah,
the passer,
of course.
But
yeah.
You just can't. You can't do those things. So they got away with things. That's why, you know, when the Mets chat, when I think it was Phil asked me, Phil's like, "Oh, what do you think about the Giants?" Like, yeah, they got away with some things, right? But they won the game, and so like those are one of the things. If that's not a roughing the passer, it changes the complexion of the game
completely.
Completely. So they got away with it. And so they're not good enough to start saying, all right, well, now we're on our way to the playoffs, because they're sloppy, right? And they're still making some mistakes, but they're getting better every week. It feels better every week.
100%.
And it helps so much that you just have a dude who you can rely upon. Like one of the things I used to take pride in was that you're getting the same me every Sunday. Right, no matter what, who we're playing, what the circumstances are, you can count on me to do what I do every single Sunday. And there was a few around, a few years earlier in my career where that didn't happen. But at the end of my career, you knew exactly what you were getting. I think the Giants have that again with Malik Nabers. You know exactly what kind of baller, what kind of player, what kind of playmaker you're getting every single Sunday, and it's freeing. Right, it makes you feel so much more confident that you can find ways to win and make plays.
So, do you think he's the greatest wide receiver in the history of football?
No, he's not.
Oh, okay.
But he's trending that way.
But it seems like,
all of these kids out of LSU, when they come in their first couple of years, they're trending that way. Right, we'll see once teams start. All right, we're not going to keep one man guy. We're gonna put cloud coverage on him. We're gonna put two guys. We're gonna play man, but bracket him. Right, when teams start intentionally taking him away, that's when I think we start looking at Dave's as a play caller and how he mitigates that.
Well, that was my question for you, because in the second half of this game, you obviously watch these games very differently than me and a lot of people. He wasn't
targeted. I mean,
yeah,
he only had one.
Well, did Cleveland do anything different?
Changed? That was basically it. Cleveland started trying to take him away. And, I think the Giants are trying to find ways to move him around more. Remember how after week one, I was like, man, this offense is so static. They just kind of stand still, right? Get to the line of scrimmage and run a play. It's harder to free up a guy when you know exactly where he's lining up and he's not moving. You know what I mean? He's not going in motion. He's not shifting. You just get to the line of scrimmage and let's go play football. It makes it easy on the defense. And so I think what the Giants are going to end up having to do is shift formations. It can't just be, all right, Malik, you got to beat this guy. You got to beat this double team. And I think what helps them a little bit in that regard, though, is that Daniel Jones is mobile. And we saw some of these we saw some of his QB runs and, taking off when things weren't great. It forces defenses to play more zone, because so you can look at him.
Right. Right?
If you start playing man all the time and guys start turning their back, then Daniel Jones is going to take off. As soon as he sees backs of helmets all in front of him, he's going to pick up 10 yards or 15 or whatever it may be. That's what happened in 2022. A lot of teams were like, they're not good enough. We can cover these guys' man covers. Let's just play a lot of man. So Daniel Jones would just take off. And you see a lot of QB runs. And now they may have to start getting back to that a little bit.
Teak, we'll talk to you tomorrow, man. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock, baby.
Looking forward to it, boys.
There he is.
Later, man.
Great Tiki Barber. Giants off a victory. They're 1-2. When we come back, the Mets made some intriguing decisions with their rotation for Atlanta, as did the Braves. And we'll tell you why the series now features major questions. A couple things. First of all, the Mets decided to skip Jose Quintana. So David Peterson, who has struggled in two of his last three starts, is scheduled to start the middle game of this series. This idea or this decision is based all on matchups, because Quintana's got a lot of bad numbers against individual Brave hitters. So I think the thought is it's a better matchup for him to face Milwaukee on Friday. And they trust David Peterson. Even though two of his last three starts haven't been good, he did pitch really well against Philadelphia a week ago. And I guess the hope is, you know what? He deserves this opportunity. So Peterson over Quintana. Okay. The Brave one was weird. Charlie Morton's not pitching. Makes sense. He hasn't been great. But Chris Sale, who's been their best pitcher and a potential Cy Young contender,
right.
His fifth day is Tuesday. He's pitching Wednesday. They're giving him an extra day of rest, which means he would not be available for game 162. He would not be.
So fascinating. Why
they
crazy?
Would
do that?
Well, maybe they're brilliant. Maybe the Braves are playing chess while our brains are playing checkers. Why, you ask?
Yeah, why?
There's a lot of rain in the forecast on Thursday. That's the final game of the Met-Braves series. If the game is not played on Thursday, it would have to be played the following Monday, if necessary. Chris Sale's fifth day.
So he would pitch twice versus the Mets in the
yes.
That
Could
is kind
you
of
imagine
genius.
That?
You know, baseball, if this is really going to be a thing, do not mess up the final week of your season. If you see hurricane bands are coming to Atlanta.
What would you do?
I'd already schedule a doubleheader tomorrow. Dude, 48 hours out. Are we serious?
Did that scare you?
A little bit.
By the way, before you continue on, it's just very important I say that when we're done with SNY in the next couple of minutes, you can stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York. It's presented by Tri-State Cadillac coming up next on SNY. Go ahead.
Okay, so we complain about this in normal regular season games with fans sitting through weather and not having the foresight.
Yeah.
We are basically out of days, and a team shouldn't have to play that Monday with one day to spare with the wild card round. I think Tuesday's a fair assessment. If you're 48 hours away, and we're not talking about scattered showers, we're talking about hurricane-like bands of rain.
Yeah.
I think you should make the call and say Wednesday's a doubleheader. We need to get these games in.
I tell you why I hate it, okay? It's all not right. fair for both teams who have lined up their rotation. In Atlanta's case, it's Max Fried on Thursday. In the Mets' case, it's Shaw Mania. And I just don't want a doubleheader determining this. Here's what I would do. And for those that don't know, I have looked ahead. I've confirmed this because Paul Rosenberg was the first one that brought it up to me before the show. And I appreciate that. Now, I've gotten a ton of emails in the Rico Bronya email account that we have saying, it's supposed to rain, supposed to rain. What are we going to do? Rain. I think the way to handle this is you play Tuesday, you play Wednesday. If the weather is that bad Thursday, I think you can it. You play the weekend and we'll see if the game's necessary. It may not be necessary. I mean, the Mets could lose every game, they could win every game, and it may not matter. And so before you do something rash, like a doubleheader, which alters everybody's rotations, both teams, by the way, not just the Mets, not just the Braves,
right.
I let it play out, thinking, we may not need Monday. And if we don't need Monday, no harm, no foul. Boo-hoo, the Braves lost the gate, but not my problem.
But the caveat is, Thursday was already a makeup game from a rainout in April.
That's true, which we've all forgotten about.
So, well, I mean, the integrity, they could have just as easily played a doubleheader in April. So to me, just make it the double. And you're right. Both teams get a fair shake at it. And also, statistically speaking, it is a farce that teams typically split doubleheaders.
Well, it's not even about the split of the doubleheader. I think it's about when there's a chance, like a decent chance. I want to say it's 50%, whatever it is, that game is going to be unnecessary. When you play the remaining five other games that occur, why alter something so seriously for the possibility of the game might not matter? And look, the Mets can make it not matter. Go win Tuesday and Wednesday. Game won't matter.
Here's the thing.
Win the first two games. Mets are in the playoffs. See you later.
In this very new world we're still in with these best of threes in the wild card round. Brand new world, right? We all agree on that. You know, not for nothing. You have no wiggle room there. You lose that first game of that series. There's no makeup time. You're in a win-or-go-home game two.
I get it. You're going
so
right
why
away.
Why would you want to be playing Monday?
Because while that's a negative, I just wouldn't mess with the Tuesday, Wednesday. Let them play. Just let them. Hopefully they get those games in. There is some rain in the forecast for Wednesday as well. Play those two games. I'm also hoping the Mets just win these two games.
Sure.
And then other than seeding purposes, it doesn't really matter.
Okay, but if you won the game Tuesday won the day game Wednesday. Then it's already over before you even do that. We're not fooling around.
Yeah, I don't like it. Would you do that, Lugie? Oh, sorry, he's on the phone.
They also would have to consider if it is a bad hurricane situation in Atlanta, they have to actually get out of Atlanta on Thursday. And who knows what the airlines would be like getting out of Atlanta going to Milwaukee.
So now you think they're stuck in Atlanta?
I think that's a possibility that baseball has to plan for at least.
Nah, they'll get out of it.
I'll say this. Paulie Rosenberg takes a lot of shots behind the glass. Some undeserved, some deserved. Brings up a great point.
Does he?
They can't be stranded there in Atlanta on Thursday. That makes the whole thing messed
stranded.
Up.
Stranded? It's not Siberia. They'll get out of there.
What are they going to do, drive a Madden cruiser out of flight? Don't take off. Exactly. The hurricane winds, they don't take off. They don't go. The FAA is going to go, oh, wait a minute. We've grounded everything, but the New York Mets need to get out? I mean, that's how it works.
Honestly, if the weather remains this bad, they'll cancel the game Thursday morning. They're not going to make everybody wait around. They're just going to say, look, let's play it safe. There's no game Thursday. That sucks.
let's see if the game's needed Monday. And not to get in the weeds on this, I should probably save it for the Rico. There's a really good scenario. Maybe I'm hopeful of this scenario.
This is the Rico Brodna podcast.
Where the Mets have a playoff spot wrapped up, but that game's necessary for seeding purposes. And I think the rules in baseball, if all the playoff spots are determined, right, it's just about seeding, they allow the team to make the decision on if they want to play the game. And I think that's something the Marlins dealt with, where last year the Mets had a game rained out with the Miami Marlins, or a game suspended with the Miami Marlins. That's what it was. They had just taken a lead. They suspended the game. Marlins made the playoffs. People forget this. Mm-hmm. And I think if they needed it for seeding purposes, it was going to be their decision. Did they want to go to New York to play a few innings when all that was on the line was seeding? If playoffs are on the line, you got to play the game.
Right.
Obviously. But yeah, keep an eye on that. The weather is supposed to be very, very bad for Thursday night's game. Unbelievable. Just win, you know what? Just win the first two. That's it.
This is now definitely going on Monday.
You think so?
I mean, all the makings are there. And the Chris Sale starting a second game.
Can you imagine that? Oh. See, that's the other thing I was thinking about. Why did they move Chris Sale to Wednesday when he can't pitch Sunday? Man. Yeah, so we could come back on Monday on regular rest and face the Mets twice in a three-game series, essentially.
And a 2:05 first pitch. Evan sitting here sweating as we're trying to break down the Jets and Broncos.
Oh.
And Chris Sale's mowing down the Met lineup.
Could you imagine that scenario of a Monday afternoon Mets Braves season on the line? It's the middle of the afternoon.
I just paint that scenario. You still don't want that doubleheader Wednesday, Ev?
You got me. You got me weak in the knees.
And remember, no Giant game to break down that day, and we will be talking about the Broncos beating the Jets. So it's going to be, already going to be in a mood.
Don't talk about my Jets that way. They're not losing this game to Broncos.
Gotcha. Broncos are red hot.
Broncos look good. I think what we have to realize with the NFL, week to week, you got to take a deep breath. Like, the worst teams look good, the best teams look bad, and you can't overreact to it. Like, Sean's overreacting to the Niners. He thinks they're going to miss the playoffs.
No, I think the overreaction was they were a bad team that one week one.
Yeah, that's an overreaction.
Is it?
They went to the Super Bowl last year.
Different team.
Talent-wise, 1 through 50, are they that different, though, roster-wise?
A little different.
They're not that different.
A little different.
They also have a lot of guys missing right now.
Yeah, well, Christian McCaffrey was missing week one. They still somehow won a game.
I understand that. They will be fine. I'll make you bet right now.
Uh-huh.
The Niners are making the playoffs. What do you want to bet? Why are you even thinking about it? You think they're a bad team?
Because there's a lot of bad teams in the NFC. And 8 wins might get you into the playoffs. And they already have 1 win they shouldn't have had in week one.
How many undefeated teams are left in the NFC? Do you know the answer to that off the top of your head? Because the answer is 2.
I know the Vikings are undefeated.
You know who the other one is?
It's going to be somebody off the wall. Hold on.
It's not off the wall. It's just that you don't think of them as good.
I don't think of him as
good. I don't think you think of him as great. I think you think of him as decent. You're kind of unknown because of the head coach. Like, you don't know if the head coach is any good or not.
Okay, I'm going to say, no, it's not the Lions or the Bucks.
It's not the Lions or the Bucks, no.
Because they played each other.
You don't know the other undefeated team in the NFC?
They're very Fugazi.
Cardinals?
No.
The Cardinals are 1-2. What planet are you on?
An old pal of ours is the quarterback of their team.
Do you even watch football, Sean?
Yeah.
Seahawks.
Oh, the Seahawks.
Why are you helping him?
Because what are we going to sit around for 45 minutes? He doesn't know the answer. He was so stumped it wasn't even funny.
Well, by the way, let him win another. That guarantees a Giant win in week 5.
What kind of logic is that? Like, for a Jet fan, I know Joe probably has a theory about this. The Broncos winning yesterday has no impact on the Jets playing them on Sunday.
In fact, I will tell you this right now. It's Monday. Before this line moves, get your bets now. The Jets are the biggest lock on the week, laying 7.5.
I don't like you sometimes.
I am so in on the Jets this
week. I don't like you sometimes. Speaking of Sean's bad NFL picks, when we come back, we'll make our picks for Monday night's game. Sean has put together historic season. We'll also mix in some of your phone calls. I do need to figure something out real quick, and I'm going to try to figure it out before the show is over.
Okay.
Tiki's not here. So I'm going to try to figure out who should make the picks for Tiki Barber. I will figure that out. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center. Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.